Let's read Psalm 67. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us. Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the countries be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the countries upon earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Now, how many of you have had three meals today? Most of you, I would have thought, that we normally have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, don't we? Perhaps you might have had a snacker at another point in the day as well. I won't embarrass you and ask you whether you've had four meals today. But we've probably all had plenty. We've all eaten enough to keep our tummies from rumbling. And we've eaten food that's been harvested from all around the world, as we were thinking earlier. You probably don't know where all your food came from. I looked at some tins and jars in our kitchen, and many of them don't say where they actually came from, where the food was from. But wherever it was from, it was all part of a harvest somewhere. Harvests around the world have given food for us to buy and eat in this country. And that's what we're thanking God for in this service. We're looking at Psalm 67 this evening. And I suspect you probably didn't think that you'd be learning about Jewish poetry by coming here. But can you see how I've laid out the psalm on the screen? It's sort of shaped like geese when they're flying, isn't it? Or the red arrows when they're doing one of their flypasts with smoke coming out of the planes. It's a particular style of Jewish poetry where the start and the end of the psalm parallel each other. And then the next section moving in parallels each other and so on, until you get to the central part, the central verse. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again, and 6 and 7, the beginning and end of the psalm, and see what they say. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And verse 6, the earth has yielded its produce. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This psalm is a prayer that God would bless his people, that he would be gracious to them and make his face shine upon them. Very early in the Bible, a man called Moses was allowed to meet with God and see a small part of his glory. And we're told that his face became radiant, so that the people of Israel were afraid of him, because he was reflecting the glory of God in a pale way. And that's what the psalmist is praying for here, when he prays, make his face to shine upon us. He wants to see and to know God and be blessed by God. And the blessing is in two spheres in this psalm, the physical and the spiritual. Spiritually, the psalmist wants to know God better, to experience his blessing and graciousness, ultimately to see God. And from verse 2, the psalmist and God's people have experienced God's ways and his salvation. They know that God has been good to them because he is a good God. And the psalmist wants a deeper relationship with God, one that is as close as God, close to God as Moses had when his face shone after meeting with God. Have you ever met someone who was so pleased to see you that their face lit up at the sight of you? Or perhaps you've seen a child on their birthday when, again, their face lights up when they open a present they were looking forward to getting. Moses' face was lit up after seeing God. And the psalmist wants that same joy and radiance in knowing God. Then in verse 6, you can see that the psalmist is thanking God for a blessing that's actually already happened. We read there that the earth has yielded its produce, or its harvest. The land has produced food. Verse 6 is actually a slightly odd verse in this psalm, because it's the only one that seems to look backwards. Henry, would you mind turning around and looking out of the window for a moment? You're different from everyone else now, aren't you? You're looking out of the window, whereas everyone else pretty much, hopefully, is looking forward towards me and at the screen. So someone came into the room and looked around and saw one person looking out of the window and everybody else looking forward, they'd think it was a bit odd, wouldn't they? They'd think that Henry was a bit strange. Well, this verse is a bit odd because it looks into the past. What has already happened? Whereas everything else looks forward. Perhaps the psalmist was writing a prayer, asking God to bless his people. And he thanked God for the recent harvest, which he saw as a sign of God's blessing on his people. The harvest was good. And it's prompted him to pray for God to bless his people in all ways, not just with the harvest. Well, part of this service is about thanking God for his provision of food and drink and other material things to us. It is so easy, isn't it, to take our food and drink and clothes and homes for granted. We don't have to worry about where our next meal will be coming from. Well, if we were to go back a couple of hundred years, there would have been more farmers in a church building like this than there are now. Actually, found out there is somebody here who has done farming. I was going to ask the question, are there any farmers here? And I thought there wouldn't be any, but I found out there is one. But farms are much bigger now. They have better machinery and growing techniques, better fertilizers and weed killers and sprays against insects. But go back 200 years or so, and things would have been much more simple. No petrol or diesel machines, no combine harvesters or tractors. There might have been a plow pulled by a horse or cow, but there wouldn't have been weed killers or insect sprays, just physical weeding. And if the harvest was bad, it could be a matter of life and death, as it still is in some parts of the world. If the weather was bad and the crops didn't grow, there might be no food on the table in the winter months. Can you imagine getting up in the morning and not having any food to eat? It wouldn't be very pleasant, would it? You get up in the morning and there are no breakfast cereals in the cupboard. We have such a choice now, but there's none there. There's no bread to eat. There's nothing. It wouldn't be good. Well, it's right to thank God for the food that we have on the table at each meal. Not as a ritual, but genuinely thanking God for providing for us. Our food and drink is a sign of God's goodness to us, so it's right to thank him. The earth has yielded its produce. We've eaten it this afternoon, this tea. So let's remember that it comes from God and thank him for it. So the psalmist has thanked God for physical blessings and prayed for spiritual blessings that he might know God more closely. And if you're a Christian here this afternoon, you have been blessed both physically and spiritually by God. Listen to what Paul writes in a letter to the church at Ephesus. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are blessed as Christians with the physical blessings of food and drink and material comforts, and we thank God for those, but also with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We know the salvation that can come from God. It's great, isn't it, to see that this psalmist prayer has been answered in our day as people from all around the world are experiencing God's salvation. But how are they doing that? In the Gospel of John in the New Testament, we read Jesus saying that he can give living water that quenches all thirst. And he says about himself, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Can you imagine a food that if you ate it, you would never be hungry? Water that if you drank it, you'd never be thirsty again. That's what Jesus says he can give. And of course, he's not talking about physical food and drink here. He's talking about spiritual food and drink. He was actually talking about his own body. He gave up his life on the cross so that anyone who trusts in him can be forgiven and know God. That is the salvation that Christians today speak of, we see referred to in verse 2. That is God's way of bringing people into a relationship with him so that they praise him, verse 3 and verse 5. God blesses us physically with the harvest, and he can bless us spiritually if we come to trust in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. So just as we do thank him for the physical harvest, the physical blessings that he gives us, it's right to thank and praise him too for our spiritual blessings if we are Christians. But the psalmist doesn't just ask for blessing for himself in a selfish sort of way here. In verses 1 to 2 that we read earlier, and 6 to 7, he says that he wants this to happen so that God's way may be known on earth, that God's salvation might be known among all the nations, that all the ends of the earth might fear him. The psalmist was praying for blessing so that the rest of the world would come to see that Israel's God is the one true almighty God. The God who, verse 4, judges the peoples with equity, that is, fairly, and who guides or shepherds the countries of the earth. Verse 4 is the centre of the psalm, the heart of what the psalmist is praying for. And he wants to see the people of the world believing that the God is just and God is good. God will judge the peoples, each one of us, according to his laws, with equity. See that there are three different words used in verses 2 to 5 for the peoples of the world. I've translated them nations, peoples, and countries, just to highlight the fact that they are different. The psalmist is making the point that God is the God of the whole world, not just Israel or Christians or some select group of people. Every single person on this planet in the past, now and in the future will be judged by God according to his laws. And that might sound a bit heavy, but we need to remember that God's laws are good laws. They help us live in the way that he created us to live, with truthfulness, with graciousness and kindness and love. But we all know that we don't do that. None of us are completely truthful or completely loving to those around us. It's great having organisations like the Trussell Trust that we've heard about this evening that help people in need, and we support them, and we know that even though we support them, we know that we can always do more. So why is it that the psalmist says, may the countries be glad and sing for joy in verse 4? God's going to judge us, and we're not up to his standards. That doesn't sound like something to sing for joy about. Well, the last line of the verse is, you guide the countries of the earth. The picture is that of the shepherd leading his sheep to good grazing land. It's a picture of God leading and guiding people in the paths of blessing. You wouldn't be very impressed with a tour guide who was meant to be taking you to Cadbury World actually dropping you off the bus in a muddy swamp, would you? You want the tour guide to take you on the right road to Cadbury World, to lead you to the chocolate, where the chocolate is, rather than this muddy swamp that he's dropped you off in. Well, God doesn't do that. God leads his people in right paths, in paths of blessing. We can trust what he says because he is like a good shepherd, a good tour guide, one who looks after the sheep, one who cares for them and wants what is best for them. But the question is, will the countries, will the nations, will people, will you and I follow the good shepherd in the paths that he shows us? We all experience his goodness to us in the harvest, in our food and drink, in our sweets and chocolate. And those physical blessings point us to the greater blessings we can have if we know God as our shepherd. If we come to know the salvation we can have in God, if we can call God our God. That's the question for you if you are here and you're not a Christian. If you haven't yet found the peace and joy that comes from trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And if you are a Christian, you can thank God for his physical and spiritual blessings, and you can pray this prayer of the psalmist, that you would be blessed, so that, verse 2, others might also come to learn of God.